I'm going to show you something. I don't want you to ever forget it. When you squeeze a trigger, don't jerk it. That's called trigger control.
It's that time again. It's time for TWIM, This Week in Mormons. I'm
here
with
Jeff,
you.
Hey, Jeff, play that one by George Michael. Okay, all right. No, do that other one. Do that one by George Michael.
Some people I don't think appreciated my singing of Careless Whisper at the end of last week's show.
You need to go to sexyfonogramman.com.
Did you even hear me singing at the end of last week's show? Did you listen?
I did. I actually listened to the end of the show to find out what people were so angry about. They were livid.
They were so upset. And I said, what is wrong with me singing the chorus to Careless Whisper? I mean, come on.
I liked it.
I like my internet memes to be enjoyable enough that they are great for the masses, yet small enough that I can enjoy them as if it's more of a special thing. Like, Rebecca Black is so overplayed now, you know? That can't be special to me anymore.
Friday, oh, like Friday.
Exactly.
Friday.
Everyone knows
it. Oh, like Friday.
You're not even
Friday,
singing the song
Friday.
Correctly.
Oh, said you'd always be mine. I'm mixing the two worst possible musical selections.
What was the other one?
That was Baby, Baby, Baby by Justin Bieber and Friday by Valerie Black.
Rebecca Black.
That's the one.
Dun, dun, dun. So, well, I'm glad. Internet memes are wonderful. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, so how was your week of travel?
You
were out to the south.
I've been a busy boy. I mean, I came and hung out with you in New York. I was home for a few days, and then I left again and took off to a journey through history. American
a magical
history.
Journey
it was
of South Carolina.
No, I didn't get down that far. It was a journey of American history. I saw Manassas. I went to Monticello and saw Jefferson's home. I saw James Madison's
home.
Are you
sure it's not Monticello?
Yes, it's Monticello. Trust me. I saw James Madison's home, Montpelier. I went to Richmond and saw Monument Avenue, which is lined with statues of Confederate heroes.
Ugh.
I went to Jamestown and saw the first settlement of English here that lasted.
Isn't that where they had the big suicide back in the 70s?
No. And then I went to Williamsburg, which was crazy awesome. Living history, living museums. Who doesn't love this stuff? It was a marvelous journey. And then I went to the Outer Banks, went down to Kitty Hawk, saw the Wright Brothers Memorial, hung out there and joined that Atlantic breeze.
You went to Kitty Hawk?
I was there, man. I have walked the path where the Wright Brothers flyer took off.
I walked today where Thomas Wright walked.
There was no Thomas Wright. Orville and Wilbur.
I made it up.
You're a Midwesterner. You should know these things. They're Ohio.
I only know Amelia Earhart, whose museum is in Kansas.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for her. I think they'll.
I've been there.
I think someday they'll find her. I think she's just chilling on some island with some. I think she's
it's like, oh, seriously, guys? Because like, I just found Fiji, and I've been chilling. I mean, it's been great.
I think she's still alive. She'd probably be, I don't even know how old, 110 or something like that. But yeah, I think she's still kicking.
She was quite a spitfire.
I loved her.
A real firecracker, that Amelia.
Yeah. So it was great times. And then in the same day of the Outer Banks, drove through North Carolina, hung out with my cousin in Durham.
How was visiting the Plantationville?
It was fine. I mean, like anything I get, it's easy to get historied out. You know, it's just.
You were done with it.
It's such an inundation of just colonial everything. I mean, I enjoyed going to Kitty Hawk just because it was history, but at least it was a different type of history.
Did they recreate offensive racial settings that made you uncomfortable?
Well, now you just ruined everything. See, you ruined the setup.
Well, let me because Kansas City, we have barbecue places that, like, they still have, like, it's all a black wait staff, and they're all, like, No, yes, sir. Oh, sir.
See,
yes.
Yeah, because it's different. Because, you know, living in Northern Virginia, it's not in the South. And even when I was down there, all the people are very hospitable down there in Virginia. They're all sweet and kind and fun and Southern. And I'd tell them I lived in Northern Virginia, and they'd tell me to move. It's like, they said, just get out of there. You don't want to be there. So anyway, I did notice it at many restaurants. The serving staff was Caucasian. But the bussers at times, most of the time, were African-American. And where was it? It might have been at one place, maybe when we were in, it might have been in Williamsburg, when everyone's dressed in the colonial gear. Maybe that's when it kind of drove it home, or the weirdness of it. Because, yeah, I thought I felt kind of odd having a black person, like, bus my table. It felt very subservient in one instance. That's the only way.
You would have preferred to have white servants?
I don't know. I'm not going to get all Tom Tancredo.
Jeff,
in
the service industry, I only am served by white folk.
No. I don't know.
Is that what you're trying to say?
I even asked my mom. I was like, is this, like, weird at all? Does it feel kind of like, you know, happy servant stuff? And so the funny thing at Williamsburg, I found out back in the 70s, to try to make things even more legit, they thought, because Williamsburg is nice, but it's sort of like sanitized. Not that they try to you know, ignore the past, but that it's a very clean city, and, you know, it's a good reproduction of the old town, but, you know, it's not like a dirty, grimy, functioning place. Apparently, for a while, they actually recreated slave auctions as one of the events.
Woo!
At Williamsburg. I can't imagine how the NAACP had a problem with that.
Well, and it would have had to have been like an equal opportunity employment thing, right?
Sure. So
I would have loved to have been the white 15-year-old kid trying to make a little extra cash, and he's like, no, oh boy. They're like, this guy doesn't look strong at all. Go to the next one.
Yeah.
No, sir. More porridge.
I can just
imagine. He's Oliver Twist in my mind.
So I can only imagine how awkward that was when they actually had slave auctions. I mean, yeah. It's the kind of thing, I guess, if they presented in a way that showed how terrible slavery was, you know, to drive the point home, that's fair. But either way, I can still see how people probably thought it was in poor taste.
South.
The South is lovely, though. South. People are so pleasant. Everyone was calling me darling and touching me and just, yeah, you know, it was good times.
I love the South. Women touched me. It was great. Are you lonely, Jeff?
This one girl touched my knee.
Oh, I think you should have touched her back. Women love that.
I touched the small of her back.
Oh, Jeff.
That's the way women like it, when you walk in.
Talk to your bishop.
When you walk into a room with them or get out of their way, always go for the small of the back. Because, as Hitch would say, too high is just friends, and too low, you're just trying to grab some butt. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy. All right.
It's just so true to life. So many powerful lessons.
Anything Fresh Prince-esque, I feel like, teaches a good moral lesson that we all have experienced a time or two.
Except for the film Wild Wild West. Which
no, was... even that. And Men in Black. I feel like both of those.
Right. Pungent. Anyway, enough about me, though. I had a grand time. Loved going to the South, man. Good times all around. And how is home? How's Missouri?
Oh, Missouri's great. Back in the saddle here. I've got my big monitor displays cranking away, working.
So you're happy? Because I was worried. You were lamenting leaving New York.
I slept
around,
in a bed. All right, let me just throw that out there, people. I'm a large man at a solid 6'6 or 6'7. I need a custom bed, so I have a 7.5-foot bed or something so that I can, like, stretch out on it.
Sure.
It's a little bit of an extra length there that I don't normally enjoy as I travel around. So 4 months in New York, sleeping in a very small, confined space.
Uh-huh.
I'm now home.
And on an air mattress to boot.
That's true.
I mean, I felt bad when I was with you because I got to at least sleep on the couch. And
Jeff,
you were on the air
Jeff,
mattress.
You have a sense of entitlement, though, just to come, that comes just with age, right? You feel like you will never share a room because you're
no, I won't.
Of age, and
I
you've
won't.
You've earned this.
I also
like,
I don't bring towels
like, shoot,
with
I'll,
me when I travel. For example,
I'll sleep on the floor. I'll sleep on an air mattress. I don't care.
No, I'll sleep on an air mattress. I just felt bad. I mean, the couch is more comfortable than an air mattress.
I feel like you should be more wealthy than I am.
Probably, but oddly,
just
it's
by attitude. Like, you're more wealthy attitude in person. I feel
in a way, it's true. I mean,
and I'm like peas and buckwheat. Well, thanks for breakfast.
I mean, honestly, like, I don't think it was outlandish that I expected you to have a towel for me when I came.
And
to
I
see
think
you.
I had 1.5 suitcases.
I just
where would I put a towel?
I don't know. You were hosting me. I didn't think about hotels, apartments, and showers in the kitchen and toilet. What did I know? I'm sorry.
You knew nothing.
And I've learned well. But anyway, we have a great show for everybody this week.
Yeah, into the Mormon
and,
news.
And thank you all for your comments. Last week, I stand by every word I said.
Jeff has been battling. You're on your heels. I feel like
this is the problem. I don't know if it's the lawyer in me. I go out of my way to offer disclaimers when I explain things. But perhaps since that is not the crux of my argument, people forget that.
Well, so give me a little bit of a summary of some of the arguments going on this last week. Is it mainly controversy over the Klingon, I am a child of God?
Yeah, people were really up in arms about that. Namely, wow. Because everyone knows that Klingons don't have a god. And they found it abhorrent that we would pretend they do. No, actually, people just disliked me because, well, let's face it, you're the star of the show, Al. And I'm just the uptight guy.
You are. You're the stickler. Well, I loved Katie, who came in and pretty much ripped both of us a new one. I think it was aiming more at you, but I got caught in the crosshairs as well.
Whatever.
Of us schlup 28, 29-year-olds still making comments about how we're still single, blah, blah, blah. Making excuses about the economy and the whatnot.
Whatever. That one's fair. It's true. I do think we all too often remove the faith argument from things.
And Brittany, how do you feel about Brittany? Has she offended you? Because I think she did offend you.
I'm sorry for her lot in life. Let's just say that.
Why are you sorry for her lot in life?
She clearly is very angry about many things.
About men.
About men. I don't know. Well, no, the point is, like I said, we don't have to go through all of it again. I do agree with Katie in that we need to remember faith. That is important.
Yes.
But I think it's hard to, sometimes people have a hard time reconciling the faith to get married with the same message in a church that we need to make wise decisions and prepare ourselves for the duties and for the responsibilities of being married and of parenthood. And that we need to put ourselves in a position where we can do those things. You know, I mean, because we don't just say in the church, hey, follow your dreams and your heart and the spirit and do whatever and don't care. You know, we very much stress in education and provident living, as we say. And so I think it's hard to kind of find the happy medium between those two. You know, more power to those who are able to do things.
I've gotten a lot of accolades for my view. A lot of women are cheering me on as I call men that want to put the blame on the women cowards. I feel like I've struck a good nerve.
Yeah.
And I'll keep going with the shtick, man. Ladies love me.
They should. I'm just sad that Kevin Barney did not comment. Because if you type in Kevin Barney, we finally trended in the top 10. So.
Yeah?
Yeah. Kevin Barney. See, as it turns out, I told my mom about this, and she just said, "You attacked Kevin Barney?"
The coward?
Kevin Barney is one of the most noted LDS bloggers and columnists, and we, because we don't fear anything here on TWIM, we went right after him.
Yeah, what a wiener.
Or Al went right after him, and I just wanted to defend
what a wiener, Kevin Barney.
So there it is. Anyways, I stand by my words, and the biggest thing I want to say is if women, you're mad that men are hanging out, even if we need to do better about that, you are enabling us by not putting your foot down in hangout situations.
As you say that, I enjoy being enabled. Thank you.
So do I, but the problem is women have got to put their foot down. They complain we don't want to date them, but
go about this so many ways.
But they let us do it.
Let's
so.
Not close the fridge. Let's keep making dinners. I love it. It's reasons to hang out.
I know. It's a beautiful thing. I love it too, but if we're trying to be the better people here, I'm just saying. Anyway, folks, great show for the week. We have stories, food storage, beautiful murals, more Book
Should
of Mormon.
Should we jump right into
movies?
It? I feel like I've got all the good ones. I'm excited.
I think you're very pumped about the first one that you want to do. So you know what, Al? I'm just going to let you have it. Go ahead.
Here's the long and the short of it, people. Inflation is coming How do I know it? Ask me how I know it.
How do you know it, Al?
I'll tell you how I know it. Because.
Tell me.
Because the church foods, like the canneries, they're normally the last to hit the, or to increase prices or follow the course of inflation, because they buy in such bulk that they're able to ride out the storms of up and down in commodity prices.
Yeah.
Well, April 4th was a sad day.
What?
Showed inflation rates among canneries, LDS Church canneries and home storage centers, of 11 to 49%. Some of the items that were jacked up, cocoa, 41%.
No.
I'm just going to stop there because nothing else matters. Honestly, the only things that I eat out of the cannery as a single male, and I do a fair bit of shopping at the cannery, is cocoa and apple slices.
How is the cocoa mix from the cannery? I've never had
it. The cocoa mix is some of the best I've ever had.
I mean, like you said,
When it comes to a mix, better than Stevenson's.
Yeah? Because you mean Stevens.
That's the one.
Because, you know, as a swanky person, I don't live beneath my privileges, so I'm trying to understand if it's worth
it. It's true. Well,
bottoming out.
Now, for those in question, my tastes say that Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate is the best chocolate in all of New York, and I've had the Max Brenner and the $14 hot chocolates. I've had them. I prefer Dunkin' Donuts, and so that's the flavor I'm going for, and if you like that flavor, you gotta go with the cannery.
So the flavor of hot water mixed with cocoa mix?
I've been known to give out cans of hot cocoa mix as Christmas presents.
Okay.
Because it's a number 10 can and it costs you like $11.
Does it only work with water, or can you use milk? Because I like using milk for my cocoa. It adds that richness.
Jeff, let me explain
fattiness.
Something about dehydrated and reconstituting powdered mixes. You can use any liquid.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you got cheese to a good enough viscosity, you could get that to mix.
You mean I can make chocolate cheese?
I just had a moment. Velveeta and hot cocoa.
I'm going to try this one out. I had chocolate soup when I was traveling. It was delicious.
I want to go to there.
Chocolate soup. Chocolate soup with cayenne pepper and nutmeg in it. It was outstanding.
Chocolate soup.
Chocolate rain. This whole show is just you and me blabbering on about inside jokes between us and internet memes. That's basically the entire constitution of This Week in Mormon.
Black beans up 14%. Oats up 49%. So what I'm saying, people, is you know that whole get your food storage in order, yada, yada, yada.
Absolutely.
Apparently that was a legit thing. Also, I would like everybody to go to this blog and comment about the cocoa mix being up. I feel like we should be in an outrage, and Peggy Fletcher would love us because nobody comments on.
Do you
their
want
blogs.
People to? No, people actually do. Just no one comment on the comments.
No, I've looked at several of theirs, and they have very, very little interaction. There's no TWIM community behind.
Really? What about the story we'll talk about later on from the same group that has 154 comments?
Hardly.
Yeah. So there.
Idiot.
I win.
So
I'm sorry.
What I'm
I
saying
think
is what you buy cocoa.
What you're saying is you want people to go comment so they will see that you are
short,
one.
Short oats. One short oats. Short oats go heavy on cocoa. That's what I'm saying.
You are just one. Because you
I'm
are
calling
one,
it right now,
you are
baby.
One of two comments on
sell
it.
Your rim stock and buy cocoa.
That's actually probably a good idea. No one rim is it's slowly going away.
The tablet, ugh.
You don't like it? I think it's okay.
And I have a BlackBerry that in my 2-year contract of this BlackBerry, I've had to replace it 9 times. It's terrible.
Do you pay for extra insurance with that or what?
No. Well, I paid the $7 extra, but the guy said, and I quote, "Sir, it looks like you get too much email for a BlackBerry." I'm like, I thought that's what this did.
Isn't this what this is for?
And wow. I don't know. I'm doing like 600 to 800 messages a day, but I mean,
it
like,
is time
still,
for you to go get an iPhone 5 if one comes out. In
I'm waiting for June, and then I am. I'm gonna jump.
Are you worried
Hello,
though?
Verizon. Here
I've heard reports that this one's behind schedule, and it might not actually come out till the fall.
Impossible.
I know that would be very off schedule, but you know it's Apple and.
Steven would never stand for it.
Steven is a monster.
So,
he's
back
a fool.
To Mormons, I guess.
Fine. So anyway, you have probably seen this. It's only a couple of days old, but you might not have. So, The LDS Church, which is our church, is doing away with student wards. No more. No more student wards. Now, don't misunderstand. They're not doing away with singles wards, but student wards, like BYU, are going bye-bye. And Elder Garrett W. Gong discussed this in a statement deal last week. Getting rid of student wards. No more. I like this. I support this move. I'm a big fan. And I think this goes along with, you know, we talked about 2 weeks ago, that new building they are putting up over there on 9th East.
Mega Center?
The Mega Stake Center with all the bishop's offices and whatnot. A lot of people are aware of this. But the weird thing is, I was confused by it because even the article when that came out said for BYU Stakes. And by this new program of getting rid of student wards and the stakes, I don't understand how that plays out. They do say that there are going to be entire stakes of YSA congregations.
Now, I'm excited about this.
And that's fine. But I like it because I never fully even got it, even when I was at BYU, why just at BYU they have to be special BYU wards, why they couldn't just be a singles ward like anywhere else.
I like this for a number of reasons. Because in Provo, there are a lot of what we call creepers, right? Aged men that go there specifically for the young freshman girls.
People that gain nicknames
like Father Sweater or Mustache Man. And those people deserve to have kind of open season among the students. I don't know why we would segregate them and put the old creepers away into old creeper wards and the young people to mingle with themselves. Put them together. Let them date. What bad could happen from that?
None. Are there real reasons why you like this, or are you just...
No, let's see. The real reasons why I'd like this. It would be good for kind of smaller communities. I think BYU is an anomaly, but, you know, BYU Hawaii, it would have been cool because there's so few... You had like 8 student wards, right? The entire school, and then the community wards were completely segregated, and it was tough to, like, integrate into the community because it's so... Like, culture is such a big deal there, and so... The school was separate completely, and it would have been great to have some of those ties and build some of those inroads into the community by having people that you were hanging out with outside of the school. When you were up to no good, shooting some b-ball outside the hood. And so...
Outside of the school, actually, is
And so...
But the guys were up to no good, and they start some trouble in the...
Yo, homes, forget it. Anyway, there could be good things there, and especially anywhere outside of BYU, Provo, I think it'd be great. BYU itself, though, there are a lot of guys that move there after they graduate college to like find a wife, and then they just like they end up being like 35 and just hanging around, hoping good things happen with the next crop.
See, now the weird thing is, I'm trying to think if I remember this or not. I don't remember all of the rules for BYU housing and how you can live and how you can't. So if anyone knows anything, let me know. But from what I recall, sure, you didn't have to be a BYU student to be in the BYU wards. But I believe if you lived in the boundaries of one, generally speaking, even if you didn't go to BYU, you had to live in BYU housing and abide by the honor code and blah, 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 I think. And I feel like this will open it up to more heterogeneity. Like,
is that
said,
even a word?
And
heterogeneity.
Word. And
I'm Googling this. All right, go ahead.
All right. And you know, in allowing people from everywhere, BYU students, regular singles who are working, all this and that, and people who have nothing to do with BYU to be in a ward together like a normal ward should be. So I think this is a good thing. It's a positive thing. I think it takes away from the exclusivity of BYU wards. And you know,
is there an exclusivity there though? Like,
I think there's a bit of
people want to be in them type of thing.
Well, I guess. Well, when I say exclusivity, I don't necessarily mean it in the sense of any sort of status, but exclusive in the sense that they are in special.
The one, place, like when I lived out in Boston, right? They had a student ward for the Cambridge area, and then like you had your own wards for LP1 and LP2 that were completely separate. But like, it felt like out there. You had maybe a total of like 4 or 5 wards in the area. And if you were in the student ward, you were strictly like the cutoff age was like 22 or 23. I mean, it's so young. And then the other wards felt like they were so old, and there was this gap in the middle that if you were 25, you just felt completely out of place. And you couldn't, like, you never found access to the 23-year-old students because they were in a completely different, like, they were just segregated, right? And so I feel like some intermixing would be good, rather than being a 25-year-old that has to date 30-year-olds. I've been there. Cougar Town is not all it's cracked up to be, all right? That's what I'm saying.
And one of the other things they say this is going to do is the fact that many, especially the BYU wards, have upwards of 500 members in a ward, and some only have like 50, and they feel like, for one, this will actually help bishops better be able to manage a flock realistically. And I've heard this from many, even people have commented, you know, that bishops of BYU wards have a very hard time actually keeping track of just everyone in their wards. It's just unrealistic. And I think this evens it out better. It evens the playing field. I don't know if this is going to change the way, especially if, like they've said, they'll have entire YSA stakes where needs be, so it won't be totally different from BYU. I assume they'll use that new building. But I wonder if it's a whole stake of YSA, I wonder where they will get their leadership then in that case. Because one of the things I like in a general singles ward that's part of a stake is that the bishop, you know, any leaders like that, clerks, come from the stake it's in. Whereas at BYU, they have the feeder stakes, which are basically from Lehigh to Payson. And anyone in that spread can be called to be either, you know, in a stake presidency.
Do you think this is what Elder Cook was talking about, though? Like, I feel like
No, I feel like this is the antithesis of that.
I feel the same way, where we're not making the right progress here. It's like, it's just kind of an odd aside or something completely unexpected from what they were alluding to.
Yeah. Well. It isn't. See, Elder Gong mentioned, this is kind of funny to me because I'll explain in a second. Elder Gong even said that in the future, some LDS buildings, which currently house singles wards, you know, and several family wards, which is pretty much the norm, will have only singles wards, and young people can mingle in the hallways after services with singles from the other wards. These singles wards may also stage joint activities with other wards, the whole single stake, typically made up of 8 to 10 wards, or with multiple stakes.
Yeah,
so
I like this.
Eager to see how
if we
works
can hang out in the foyers,
I feel
like more marriages will happen.
Yeah, but okay, here's the deal. I like the idea of this, but it's hilarious to me to read this because coming this Sunday here in Northern Virginia, we are moving buildings to a newly renovated church building in Crystal City, which will house 3 singles wards in the area. The 2 colonial wards and the Potomac ward, which is a mid-singles ward. All 3 of us have to... But all 3 of us get to share this building. That would seem like fun, right? Even if part of it seems like they're just trying to get rid of us and corral us in one place. It would seem like fun, except the building we're in is a renovated office building in Crystal City, which has minimal parking and minimal space. And so because of this, they can't schedule the wards to overlap at all. And so I'm going to have church at 8 in the morning, and we have to be out. We get done at 11. The next ward will be at 11:30. And they've been very clear that we can't hang around and linger because that takes up parking spaces for the next ward. And so basically we have to end church and be gone by like a quarter after. And the same applies for the ward that comes after the 11:30 ward, which will meet at 3. And so I just love seeing this release, talking about the benefits of this. And I'm like, yeah, but us going to this new building is in no way that I can tell so far actually going to benefit us in this way. I am never going to see people from the other wards. Also, the ward that meets after us is the mid-singles ward. So even if I did linger, it would be like a bunch of 45-year-old women.
Hey, they need love too. We're here for you.
They do. So I couldn't help but be kind of bemused from that. Like, I would love it if we were in a normal-sized building and had that opportunity to mingle around with people in the other wards, because that's half the reason people go to Institute around here, is because you get to mingle with people from the other wards in the area. If you had more of that, why wouldn't I go? You know? Good time.
So, moving right along, there's a big controversy going on with a fun, sexy mural that's been painted in Cottonwood Heights.
What a fun, sexy time for you.
It is the
I maybe a little background to how there's some trouble going on with the fun sexy mural in Cottonwood Heights.
In Cottonwood Heights there's a man that owns the Canyon Inn, which has a restaurant and also an inn lounge area.
So
he paints a controversial mural to get people talking about him and stopping by and saying hi, right?
Stop. Hey, man, I love the mural.
You're a jerk. Why did you paint that? Bop, bop, bop. Well, yeah, so he's painted the mural, and it's got a burning, or an image of a burning temple, right alongside a Catholic monk and a bikini-clad woman, which is kind of an odd assortment of items for a mural, I think, but whatever story he's trying to tell. And he refuses to explain the mural. He's leaving the interpretation open. And
I like that. That's the sign of a true artist.
And so local Mormons are up in arms, mainly over the temple.
Why?
Right? Mainly over the burning temple, which
yes,
I think is kind of, I don't know, maybe it was going for like a spirit of God, like a fire is burning type of thing. Well, so here's my question on this. It's like stuff like this. I mean, there's a lot of just general jabs in a predominantly Mormon community. Probably not a good idea. But I don't know, Jeff, do you hate it? Do you love the art behind the quasi bikini clad woman and the beehive and the burning temple and the Catholic monk? Do you find inspiration in that?
Well, this is what I'm thinking, Al, and thank you for asking me the question. This has been done by Jim Stojak, which sounds alarmingly close to Kojak.
Stojakovich.
Which makes me think of Telly Savalas, the original Kojak.
Yes,
now, Telly
yes.
Savalas briefly played a villain in a James Bond movie.
What?
Yeah. So clearly they're related, and Stojak is channeling this anger into the canyon and mural. This is what I've decided in the past 30 seconds before I started saying this. So, in my opinion, I think it sums it up pretty well the way the police squadron guy, Peck, Police Sergeant Scott Peck, basically that he hasn't done anything illegal, but sure, it's probably done in poor taste. Of course, the guy's protected by free speech, and I'm never going to pretend he's not. He has every right to do whatever he feels like. I don't know. I'm a big supporter of free speech, even if I don't like what the message is that's being shared. So this is his way of saying whatever it is he's trying to say. I mean, it's not just us. There's clearly right next to it some sort of a vicar or a Catholic person holding a cross.
The Catholic monk, yeah.
There's also a beehive with what is that? What's the purple stuff coming up? Is that the purple people eater walking in front of it? I don't know what that is.
It's like a bee with a cape, I think.
Yeah, something. Oh, I see the bee itself. I should click to enlarge like it tells me to do. That might make my... Oh, look how much larger it is. Okay, the bee flies out of it, and there's some sort of alcoholic beverage hiding behind the temple. It's a little fuzzy to me, but so I think it's dumb. But hey, there's also a Joseph Smith Sphinx, and no one seems to be mad about how, you know, blasphemous that basically is.
Is it really? Where is that?
The Joseph Smith Sphinx?
Yeah.
It's famous. I've never actually been to it. I just know it's somewhere in the Salt Lake Valley.
Wait, there really is? Joseph Smith Sphinx.
Yeah, it's like a Sphinx, but with Joseph Smith on it. I'm surprised you've never heard of this.
I have not.
Yeah. Does it show up?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is a big moment for you.
Oh, there it is. How bizarre.
Isn't it weird? And it's been there for ages, and nobody thinks much about it. It's almost it's like a quasi-tourist attraction, because it's weird. I don't think that helps in the perception department as far as what we believe.
But, yeah, that's
my own two cents. So good job, Cottonwood Heights burning temple mural. I want to go to Utah and see this in person. I wonder if this is new or is this just finally getting a story about it?
No, this is new. So he paints a new one every year, and this is this year's.
Oh,
obviously a PR ploy, right? Like just to get some buzz around him.
Well, it's worked.
Obviously. I don't know. A little bit stupid. Like, I just think if I live in an Amish community, I'm not going to paint a mural that makes fun of Amish people, right? Like, it's just in poor taste. I'm not going to paint a picture of the Amish. I don't even know what they have. Like, of their huts, their straw huts burning down. That's bad. Bad idea, people. Endear yourself to your communities. Celebrate the arts. Celebrate the arts. That's what I'm saying.
Not if the Republicans have anything to say about it. Ha!
Jeff, you left-winged nut.
Not really, but they do try to pull funding from art stuff frequently. And
I'm sad at the current NPR jibber-jabber.
There's that. Yeah, I'm a big supporter of the arts, and I'm a supporter of government funding.
I'm just a big supporter of fundraising on TV,
sure,
using ploys like Andre Rieu, whom I love,
Ira
Glass in everything he does.
Help me out. What did your beloved Andre Rieu do?
No, they always play him, and they're like, if you call right now, we'll get you a DVD, a thing of popcorn, and a CD for only $500.
Is that how you got your Andre Rieu collection that I've seen? Is it
no?
Is it
this
all
is
from
all
pledging?
That's all purchased on Amazon and eBay. I'll have
what's
you know. And
what's
Borders
Amazon?
When they were going out of business and were selling them for like a dollar. Andre
Borders
Rieu?
Borders is going to bounce back.
No, they're
okay.
Not.
No, it's going to happen.
No, it's
Circuit
not.
Circuit City has surged from the brink.
And Blockbuster's on its way.
They are. Blockbuster, you can't kill a good business. Look at Tower Records. It just decided to go online because that was more economical.
Yeah,
they weren't actually
they went
pushed out of stores.
They didn't want a store anyway. That was stupid.
Why would you need physical space when you can sell online like Amazon and make money hand over fist?
After Amazon's already established itself as a market leader.
Everyone I know goes to TowerRecords.com to buy stuff.
I wonder if that still exists. That better not be a porn site, Jeff.
I make no guarantees. Please tell me as I hear you typing.
TowerRecords.com redirects to Tower.com.
Oh, see? Not even just records, because they sell more than records. They are a media outlet.
Their number one seller right now is Glee.
See? You can buy it there.
Now, let's see how well they're doing. I'm going to run a little bit of analytics on them. Looks like they're doing right up in the, 150,000 hits a month. I know quilting websites that get more hits than that. That's sad.
I'm sorry. Maybe This Week in Mormons should get that many hits.
Shut it, Jeff.
I'm just saying. It would be beneficial.
So back to the Mormons.
And sort of talking about media, good old Michael Otterson. Michael Otterson, of course, is the head of public affairs for the church. He's the one who speaks out in all sorts of press releases and what have you. Otterson's a pretty good egg overall.
I hear
and
good
so,
things.
So he wrote a little op-ed for the Washington Post entitled, Why I Won't Be Seeing the Book of Mormon Musical. And, you know, I enjoyed reading this. I enjoyed reading it because of, you know, after Al and I decided not to, which is a decision I feel comfortable with. After the fact. And so he talks a lot about, you know, the Book of Mormon musical getting good reviews and blah, 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 and this and that. And he makes the point saying that dealing with parody and satire can be, you know, a tricky thing because we don't want to appear uptight or defensive. But at the same time, we want to, you know, respect what we believe in. And he does say that a few members of the church have seen the musical and blogged about it. And they've seemed to have gone out of their way to show that they can take it. And that's their right and blah, blah, blah. But he's not buying what he reads in the reviews, and he's not willing to spend $200 for a ticket to be sold on the idea that religion moves along oblivious to real-world problems blissful naivete. I'm getting there.
Oh.
And so then he says the show's creators have spent 7 years writing and producing the Book of Mormon musical, so he decided to reflect on the time spent in those 7 years and to outline what the church has done in Africa in those 7 years. I assume that's what you wanted to say, Al?
Yes, that was my favorite part.
Any in particular? It's great. He talks about how the World Health Organization estimates that 884 million people don't have access to clean water. The church has done a huge work on that. More than 4 million Africans in 17 countries have gained access to clean water through humanitarian efforts. 34,000 physically handicapped kids now have wheelchairs. Millions have been vaccinated in 22 different African countries. About 126,000 Africans have had their sight restored. The list goes on.
It's
all
just
of
kind
these.
Of a nice bangarang of like, hey, what were you doing the last 7 years? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. There's other things to read about it, but it's a pretty strong throwdown right there of booyah. This is
like
what we do.
It was like a great big high five to us, I felt. Thank you for the bump.
Yeah, and then he does point out that, you know, why there hasn't been a huge outcry from Mormons. And I like it. He says, for most of us, really, the Book of Mormon musical is irrelevant to us. It really isn't going to matter at all. I'm not going to read the other two, because I just don't feel like it. you can read the article yourself on the link that we will post. But it's a pretty good read. He talks, you know, of course, about the value of faith in the church and of being a good Christian, and of all these various things that we believe in, being honest and true and seeking things
chaste,
of good,
benevolent, virtuous, and doing
and seeking
good,
things of good report.
Indeed, we may say that we follow.
Yep, and we see similar things. Why we don't care about this? What happened? You know, the church just doesn't get involved in cases like this. Remember what happened with the big controversy of the big love?
No, temple? I don't remember. You know why? Because we forgot about it.
Yeah. But, you know, the temple show on Big Love, people were very upset about it, but the church was just like, hey, you know, we're not going to sit here and jump in this officially as the church. The members can do what they're going to do.
That's sure that, brother. All right, so a couple of good mentions for this week.
Oh, there are some terrific mentions for this week.
First and foremost, there is a great article over at the Mormon Times on...
What?
on... No, so we have another edition... of
worthless stories out of the Mormon Times.
Oh, so I love this.
Tips on blogging from Takeda. I know Jeff thinks we should pronounce her name differently. I refuse. She will always be Takeda to me.
I knew you would love this article.
She's
the second I read it, I said, I think her name is Takeisha.
No. Takeda for me, because it's more Takeda. Like a burrito / taco type of nuance.
Like a female taquito.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Put it in the microwave for a minute, you got a lunch. And so what I'm saying here is is the incredibly
please,
obvious, incredibly just over the top, ridiculous pointers on how to start a blog to share the gospel. Takeda, you're not helping. We love what you do. I think it works great.
Help me understand better. Why is she not helping?
So her points she gives, first, decide on a purpose or angle. There's no second. She never gives a second. She only gives a one pointer. And then she gives a few other ones, but she doesn't put them in sequence of her list that she started. She says, don't spam your friends and family, but email them constantly so that they'll come and read your stuff. Guess what? If you email them every time you post something, that kind of is spamming them.
Yeah, she says that.
Allow people to follow. That's what you can do.
Well, that's what she said, yeah. You don't want to spam them all the time.
No, she did spam. She's spammy.
No, she decries spam.
And then her one big knock it out of the park idea is to blog regularly. Pretty sure we could have come up with this on our own.
So you mean to tell me that to gain a following...
Give us real gospel sharing blogging tips or take it all back.
So to gain a following, if I understand you correctly, one must put out a consistent product, both in terms of quantity and quality.
First, put out a good product. That's the end of that list. And then do other things. Where is McKay Coppins? He would never allow something like this to hit the news press.
Coppins is too busy being like a real journalist and stuff.
No, follow him on Twitter. He's still the same McKay Coppins.
Oh, that's same old McKay.
Cue the organ music, Jeff. Just kidding.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the link to this story and I said, oh, this is going to be good. Before even reading it, I just knew.
You gave me this gift and then I gave you a gift as well.
Oh, you did give me a gift. Speaking of the gift you gave me, I just want to talk about.
Everybody
about,
give the gift.
I just want to talk about tequila all the time, though. I mean, oh, it's just in as little as 5 minutes, you can start a blog.
Your mouth is salivating.
Look what it says, too. In as little as 5 minutes. Hold on, read the sentence. And it goes back to Mormon Times' lack of an editor. In as little as 5 minutes, you can start a blog and began sharing the gospel around the world.
Very poorly
written. The problem with the Mormon Times is they never fully develop their stories. And then they don't put them in a greater, wider context when there's an example of something. We could go off forever about the problems with the Mormon Times.
But that's this week's edition of...
worthless stories out of the Mormon Times.
And moving right along, my dear friend. Yes, you gave me a gift, Al. You told me that apparently, according once again to Peggy Fletcher Stack and Kristen Moulton, BYU discipline is harsher on black athletes.
Oh, they're getting the black guys.
Since 1993, at least 70 athletes have been suspended, dismissed, put on probation, or forced to withdraw from their teams or the school after running afoul of the honor code. 54 of them, or nearly 80%, are minorities.
How do you feel about this, Jeff?
We could go off on this forever. I don't think... I mean, who is this report? I don't even see what it is. It's at deadspin.com. Okay. The point that I think here is, yes, because we have to deal with what the sample is. This is a sample of the 70 athletes who have been suspended. It is not racial profiling in any way to likely assume that a greater portion of those athletes, compared to the actual BYU student body, are black. Ergo, when you take the number of people hurt for the honor code taken out of athletes, more of them are going to be black than out of the school in general. On top of that, everyone knows that jocks are whores.
I'm sorry?
You heard me.
Docs are whores?
Jocks.
Oh. I thought you were making fun of doctors, and I was like, I will not stand for that.
No, I would never make fun of doctors. No, ever. So I think that's...
I think the relationship they're drawing for the sample is so ridiculous.
Exactly.
Stick to cocoa prices. I mean, you were great with the commodities, Peggy Fletcher and Kristen Moulton. I really feel like you had something going with the oat prices and stuff. But, this is a pretty outrageous headline just to get a little bit of buzz. But, I don't know. It's funny buzz. Like, the comments, I think every comment is like, I'm pretty sure you can't make this relationship work. Like, I'm pretty sure you can't draw that conclusion. I forget the book I read it in college about, like, because sugar came to the Western world, slavery had to be abolished or something ridiculous like that. I forget that. But it was such a stretch to draw that connection. It's just like, oh, yes. And global warming is real. Tell that to Glenn Beck.
See, the one thing is, though, of course, the Salt Lake Tribune article about it is more of a summary. The actual link at Deadspin is a very, very lengthy article that I encourage people to read so that you can pick it apart and offer up your beautiful thoughts on the matter. One last one. Shall we do one last one before we go, my friend? What famous people have said about Mormons? What have they said? Let's read the first line of this wonderful article from Rick Walton of the Mormon Times. Quote, has any religious community been the subject of more curiosity, controversy, or misunderstanding than the Latter-day Saints?
No. Yes.
I just want to...
What?
I think he's implying that, no.
No, nobody has been under more, a bigger microscope. I mean, the Muslims have had a little bit of attention as of late. The Jews had some historically.
Not much has happened.
But clearly Mormons have taken the cake here.
We don't even need to go off more on that. Rick Walton is idiot of the month.
I love that all we do is... we would have like a third of our show if we didn't have the Mormon Times.
Yeah, I don't know what we would have done if we would have started the show, you know, a year and a half or so before we did start it. It would have been rough.
I love some of the comments that are in there, though. I mean, there's some great things
like
that people
Abraham
have said.
Lincoln's?
But it's pretty ambitious to claim that we have the most interest, the most scrutiny. I mean, the fact that you know, Muslims or Arabs in general are prejudiced against when it comes to like air travel and random stuff like that, right? Like, I feel like Mormons have it pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, we have misunderstanding, but by and large, we, you know, we're past the era, for the most part, where members of our church are being actually physically persecuted.
Well, except, remember when we had the mobs show up at the LA Temple just after
Prop 8? I said for the most part. What did I say earlier?
They were waving flags with rainbows on them in protest.
It's true. No, I was going to say, yeah, but I'm saying stuff happens, but that by their point of view, we are the oppressor in that case,
yeah,
you know.
True.
But gone are those days. I think it's very silly to assume that the Islamic community is dealing with a lot more of a public relations nightmare than the LDS church is. We have some more quirky things about us, but let's call it for what it is here. This is a very, very poorly conceived byline.
I like to lead out with those kind of questions, though. Who is the best-looking man in all of the world? Of course, Aldone.
I agree with
that. In other news, 150 million copies of the Book of Mormon have been given out.
Oh, thank you. Printed.
Congratulations to 150 million.
Honestly, I guess I thought it would be higher. They've been printing for this long. I thought it would be more copies in circulation than 150 million.
I felt like that's gave out about a million of those when I was a missionary.
Yeah, I should have kept track. That's something I should have done on my mission. I should have kept track of how many Books of Mormon I gave out.
It's not about the numbers,
copies of
Jeff.
Copies of the Book of Mormon. That one, I just like statistics. That's all. Okay, I think we're done. Let's finish. It's over. Let's be done.
I've had enough of this week. Anyway.
Rick Walton has driven the spirit and sanity from my life, so I am prepared now to move on with my day.
Dang you, Rick Walton. Bring back McKay Coppins.
We miss him. I'm going to have to check up on Lindy Hill, see what's going on with her. We haven't had any good articles.
How you doing, Lindy? How you doing?
Maybe she's attractive. She's on Facebook. I don't know.
All right. Well.
Liar!
Oh, yeah.
Liar!
We'll save that for later.
Liar!
Good times. All right. Have a great week, Jeff.
Well, let's remind everybody here to please find us at thisweekinmormons.com. You can comment on everything that
we talk about. The Real Twim on Twitter and facebook.com/thisweekinmormons.
That's us.
Comment away, folks.
Al?
We will see you soon.
Al, I love you. Have a great
day. And I to thee do wed.
Awesome. Woohoo! See you, everybody. Thanks for listening to Twim. Bye.
Trigger control, you squeeze it.